Hello gamers and welcome to Game Warp. I'm Elwood.
I'm Kim.
And this is our look ahead to 2020. So, we come now to the end of another year of gaming, and I mean, I don't know about yourself, Kim, but 2019 has been kind of a strange year all round, where we're talking about video games, we're talking about films. Just generally, it doesn't feel like it's had the year that of most impact. I mean, obviously there's been some noteworthy titles that have come out this year. I mean, we obviously had the remaster of Resident Evil 2. Mm. We had Borderlands 3. The Outer Worlds hit the Game Pass, and that's been slowly gaining a bit of its cult following there, as people who obviously gravitate towards the Fallout games have really sort of picked up on that. Mm-hmm. And then we've had other games we were sort of like really excited to come out, like Metro Exodus and Mortal Kombat 11, which are just sort of fallen along the wayside or not quite lived up to their potential. I mean, but is there anything you sort of enjoyed of 2019 before we obviously move on to what's coming ahead?
I mean, 2019, I mean, obviously Resident Evil 2 I bought, but I've only really just watched it. I haven't dived in myself yet, but that's a really, like, I tried out the demo and stuff, and that was really good. Definitely up on the expectation side of things. I actually tried a really fun little indie game with a bunch of friends one time called the Untitled Goose Game. And it is an entertaining game to play as a group. It's definitely a cute little thing. And I was actually surprised that, you know, in the Game Awards, it actually got a few nominations as well, which is just pretty nice. My friends are still living in disbelief that that happened, but yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, we had Oxenfree, which came out, and that I would say lived up to my expectations. It was a lot deeper than I expected it to get. But you know, more on the funny side than the horror side, and not Oxenfree, but After Party.
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah, Oxenfree came out a while ago.
It was After Party, and I mean, it's not as scary as Oxenfree, but it's definitely, no, you know, it has a lot more depth than, you know, a drinking game, literally against Satan. I was really excited about Code Vein. I didn't get the chance to play that yet. But I'm definitely interested in that. I feel like a lot of games this year, there were so many big titles that a lot of things snuck out without me noticing. You know, one of the main things was Concrete Genie, which we were both excited for, came out, and you know, I ended up telling you afterwards about it. And then, you know, their Code Vein came out pretty unexpectedly for me, at least. I kind of lost track of time, but you know, this year our gaming was kind of, you know, had a little bit of a break. Is the best way to put it. You know, we had a few good titles. Obviously, Days Gone and stuff like that came out. And, you know, Kingdom Hearts 3, which was, like, the big talk of the year last year. And it came out at the beginning of the year. So I think that's about it. I mean, we also had The Division 2. I think that's more up your alley.
Kind of concerned the fact that it's already still, like, really dropped down in price. And I can't tell whether this is just, like, a promo being run at the moment that they've dropped in price, or whether people just sort of lost faith in the game. And I think, yeah, as you said, it's been sort of this year where they've sort of distracted us with these big titles that haven't really performed, like Anthem being obviously the main offender. Everyone was like, oh, Anthem's going to be, like, this absolute game changer. It comes out and just sinks like a stone. So it's been kind of a weird one in that respect. And at the same time, you've had some really good games that sort of snuck out from under the radar. I mean, you've mentioned already the likes of After Party came out, and Concrete Genie I actually did get for Christmas, so that is in the watch pile, and I will be playing it as soon as I can, as soon as I wrap up some other things. And Days Gone I've just started as well, so. But Days Gone's a big involved game, so I've yet to sort of scrape the surface of that. But there's been some other fun titles. I mean, the other fun sort of titles I've sort of seen come out, we've had like Team Sonic Racing, which is a really good addition to the Sonic Racing franchise, and it's provided an alternative to Mario Kart. It's not as pick up and play as Mario Kart, but at the same time, it's not as infuriating as Crash Team Racing was. So Sonic Team Racing still remains that second go-to choice. And we also saw the console release of Frostpunk, which has really, really proved quite a time suck since I got hold of a copy of that. So you can check out my review of that over on the blog, which is just gone up as of the time of this recording.
Well, so. Yeah, and then obviously we didn't mention, but I mean, obviously the biggest title of the year to come out, no doubt, would have to be Death Stranding, which came out in November. I mean, that game, like, swept the game awards, took quite a few awards, you know? And giving Mads Mikkelsen not only, you know, some credit, not only in the movie industry, but also in the gaming industry now. We also got a ton of awards for Disco Elysium, which we never even talked about, let alone know what it is about. And that kind of just kind of swept the boards over. And obviously we had, you know, a lot of indie games, I think, really snuck under the radar. And we really noticed them in the award shows and stuff, in the gaming awards in general, all kinds of game awards, pretty much over the year. And we had, you know, Grease that came out, GRIS, not the movie Grease. and, you know, obviously we had Trials Rising, which came out, which was a big title. And then we had, you know, a lot of, you know, like little games that came out, you know, Baba Is You came out at the full game, and obviously Unraveled 2 also came out, which we were looking forward to, and I can't believe that I forgot to mention it, because I actually bought it, I think, almost on release day and then played it. That was a really good game. And then Life is Strange 2 obviously was the big thing for us, which we're waiting, you know, right now they just ended episode 5 recently, so we're both gonna be reviewing that soon. Yeah, the whole thing. And then there's a lot of little things here and there. I think, like, Layers of Fear also got a sequel out. And, and then obviously there's a ton of remakes. There was Devil May Cry 5, which came out, which I'm really looking forward, because I haven't played a Devil May Cry game in forever. And I think, I mean, you really enjoyed My Friend Pedro, which you were looking forward to since it was, you know, announced.
My Friend Pedro was great. I mean, this is something that we've been following really since the early days of the development, where they would just show those cool little videos of how they were doing, like, different movements and different gunplay, and it was so cool to see they actually came out and it all worked. Mm. So it's a fantastic title if you've got the Switch, especially because it's ideal for that sort of pick up and play that the Switch provides. And you can obviously play it on through Windows as well, but yeah, I think that was such a fun little indie title. I mean, there's some criticism that it was a little repetitive, but if you're just, like, picking up and putting it down, it's just so much fun to play in burst, and just the creativity and just sheer insanity of that game. It was great that it lived up to all the anticipation. I'm really excited to see how they follow that one up, especially.
Mm, yeah. So, okay, I mean, we've talked a lot about these games and such. Is there any game from 2019 that you're looking forward to play in, you know, 2020, or catch up on, that you, you know, would rate that you haven't, that you, that, I'm saying that, like, you didn't get yet, because I know, you know, Christmas just passed for, as this recording is happening, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, certainly Life is Strange 2 is right up there at the top of the pile. That's the number one priority right now, is just to get into that, because while we could have obviously been playing it as each episode comes out, we decided to be real sticklers and wait until it came out as one big old box set to play through and review. So we will be reviewing that because we obviously have done the previous Life is Strange games, and I'm hoping that it's more like Life is Strange rather than Before the Storm, which was a little tedious, shall we say, with some of its ideas of what it thought players may enjoy doing. But I mean, the Life is Strange world has always been a really fun one to be, and I love the love how they've expanded it from the bits we have obviously seen in the trailers for Life is Strange 2. So I'm really excited to see how it all ties together. So, that would I say is the big one out of everything that came out this year. I mean, yeah, obviously Death Stranding is exciting, but it's like, when am I going to find the, like, 90 plus hours to sit down and really get into that game? So Yeah. At the moment, my still main focus is on like the small little titles like Life is Strange, which so there's bite-sized chunks of gaming.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, obviously, Life is Strange 2 is right there because, you know, I'm going to say that that's going to be the first game we're going to review together this year. So, because that was, I think, a game that we both picked up. So, I think you picked up, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So we both will be reviewing that as one of our first games this year. To kick things off in 2020. For me, it would be Code Vein, I think, but I'm just waiting for the price to go down a little bit. And then there's this cute little indie one, which is Sayonara Wild Hearts, which is a rhythm game, which it looks really interesting, and it had some nominations, which is how it came to my attention. So that's definitely two that I have quite high on my list, but, you know, I also have Grease, which I'm really looking for right now. Looking forward to, and I picked up over Boxing Day, so on Steam, so I'm really, really hoping to get into that at some point as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So should we look at 2020 then?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first off, right off the bat, I mean, before I forget it, so I'm going to just get out of the way first, and that's Little Nightmares 2, which is due for release next year. We're both unquestionably huge fans of the original game, mm-hmm. and of course the prospect of Little Nightmares 2, it just makes us so unbelievably excited, because I mean, this is a game that it looked almost like you were playing a movie. It's mm-hmm. so stunning, the animation and just the gameplay. It was just a really fun platformer, yeah. and such an engrossing story, especially for a story with no narration or anything, just to come together, much like we saw with
Inside,
the sequel to, yes, we saw with Inside, where just like the fans coming together and like sharing the little theories and what happens and what it all means was just, oh, it was just absolutely delightful. So to go back and play a new Nightmare would be really exciting. So
yeah.
I'm really excited for that one especially.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at the same time, I mean, Very Little Nightmares at the end of the year also landed on Android, which is their mobile version of kind of like their mobile second version of Little Nightmares. It's supposed to be a little bit different than the game itself, but in like a handheld version, which I'm looking forward to, but it is like $10 on the Play Store or something like that, so I'm still debating whether to play it. I mean, other than that, obviously, top of my list would have to go to one of the earlier releases would be Ori and the Will of the Wisp, which is coming out in February. I think it's in February something that I've scratched out. February 11th?
February 11th.
Yeah, so Ori and the Will of the Wisp, I mean, you're going to be super happy because you get it on the Game Pass. So that's going to be...
Always good. Yeah, I think the Game Pass is just... At the moment, it's really... being a standout thing for Xbox owners, especially since the release of Forza going directly on there, and then we've only seen it get better with like all the Gears games going on there, and I think if Xbox can really get a grasp of their exclusives, it could really be a force to a real sort of selling point for the Xbox. And I know the PlayStation are currently trying to do something with the PlayStation Now and shuffling across some of their bigger titles, so I think 2020 is going to be a really interesting year to see who wins out in the battle of the Game Passes.
Well, the battle of the Game Passes, and it's going to be at the end of the year, it's really going to be how they set up both of their new consoles, as they seem to both want to launch new consoles in the holidays. So that's really going to... I'm guessing E3 is going to be a lot of new console talk, and it's going to be like highlighting, you know, what these consoles are going to be all about. And, you know, with PlayStation now joining into the... PlayStation 5 gonna have the backwards compatibility function added to it. I'm just wondering how much they're gonna charge for it, because, you know, Xbox has always been backwards compatible with its previous games, but this is the first that PlayStation has done it, I think, since probably like first gen PS3 or something, you know.
When they released the PlayStation 3, the old big and the old Fatboy version, that was backwards compatible,
exactly,
so you
yeah.
can play it. And then they released the Slimline version, yeah. and took that feature out, and they never restored it with anything going forward. Mm-hmm. And it's always been a bit of a bewilderment, even though they've obviously offered these games through their store, which is, I suppose, their way around it. Whereas Xbox have been slow really sort of like the last couple of years that we've seen them really sort of tap into their heritage. And I think it was just due to the lack of exclusive titles. They needed to do something. And that was the way they went. So.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting year to see where the E3 is going to go for sure. There is a lot of things to be revealed, I guess, by the time we get to June. But currently, 2020, it's kind of like your release dates go up to a very limited amount, up to May or something, unless you dig really, really deep. But, I mean, other than that, I think another big one is going to be, you know, March is going to be a big month with, you know, the Final Fantasy VII remake coming out, and then you have Nioh 2 coming out for, you know, the Souls fans. You have, you know, Doom Eternal coming out, and then obviously, you know, right tucked in there is kind of like the indie exclusive, Xbox exclusive of Bleeding Edge, which is by Ninja Theory, multiplayer game with 8 players and stuff. So it's going to be, I think March is where we're going to really see, you know, where the year is going to, it's like the year is really going to kick off.
Yeah, I mean, it's not also helped with the fact that we've already seen some big delays. Watch Dogs Legion has been pushed back. At the moment, with Watch Dogs Legion, they are currently yet to announce a date for that one. We've also seen a delay with Rainbow Six Quarantine. And The Last of Us Part 2, which is actually one of the rarer delays in the fact that we do have a date for that, and that's going to be out on May 29th. So you get a little bit more time to save up your pennies for that one. Mm-hmm. But I think Last of Us 2, I think, is going to be one of the big games of 2020. Certainly everything we've seen looks stunning. And just not only just in terms of gameplay, but in terms of world building as well. We have that really awesome cinematic trailer, which looked really cool and just seemed to be picking up the story rather than just like you're saying, oh, here's a new group of characters. It's just, it really is a sequel in every sense of the word. Mm-hmm. So for a title so beloved to PlayStation as one of their key exclusives, it's going to be really sort of key that they that it sort of delivers, because there's a, if any game has got a lot of hype, I would say this is going to be the one. And I don't think we've seen the sort of hype really since Death Stranding that for a game that Last of Us 2 Part 2 currently has. So hopefully that it is going to live up to that hype.
Well, I would argue right now that Cyberpunk 2077 is also kind of pretty hyped up, especially, you know, after Keanu Reeves has been connected with it since, was it E3 or something?
So
it's definitely, you know, they're using him for a lot of promo right now, like his character image, which I just wonder how much his character is actually in it, because, you know, it's really hard to say, right? Because, you know, Cyberpunk 2077 has really been very limited in showing what they have. And, you know, it had, you know, like the teaser 1 year, 2 years before, and then last year I think they really like to gave some of a more cinematic kind of trailer, showed you, you know, Keanu Reeves is going to be there, you know, sort of thing. And it's still, I think that there still leaves a lot of space to really, you know, see how far this game is going to go. And just, you know, but I mean, that's just around the corner. It's on April 16th that it's going to be released. So along with, you know, like, what is it? A week before the Predator game is coming out, which is a multiplayer game called Hunting Grounds.
Oh, God. Yes, because the properties for both Alien and Predator have just been so astounding.
I know. And then it's like on top of that, it wasn't enough that, you know, Friday the 13th had so many problems that they had to go ahead and work on another franchise.
It's the problem I had with Friday the 13th, Friday the 13th was a fun game, but at the same time, it was such a big project for such a small studio to be handling. So the fact that the servers were constantly having issues and that you would spend forever waiting to get into a game, and then as soon as you get in a game, you're normally run over by some guy with a getaway car.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, get to sit around here for another 10, 20 minutes waiting to get back in a game. So
yeah, so, you know, I mean, at the same time, Friday the 13th came out. I think multiplayer games, especially, you know, in the horror genre, has a bit of problems. But I think Predator is more on, you know, maybe more first-person shooter. I haven't looked into it too much. But, I mean, Friday the 13th had its problems because of the fact that, you know, we had Dead by Daylight, which had already gotten through, I think, what, four seasons or something by the time that that it was even thinking about releasing. And it's such a similar game in the sense that it uses a lot of iconic characters that, you know, we know, and creates new maps and gives you new characters. And the world has grown so much. I was just catching a stream on Dead by Daylight the other day. And it has grown so much that there's so much depth. Like, there's a bit more depth and a lot more strategy to it than before. So I really think, you know, Dead by Daylight has really, really come a long way in, I think, what, the last 2 years that it's been out or something like that? So I feel like, you know, when you're trying to get into, say, a horror multiplayer, it's definitely going to be a lot more hard to get into the market right now. I just wonder how Predator is going to do it, because I can only imagine it going the way of more like, it's either you play the reverse horror, right, where you're the predator, or you have someone who's the predator, and then some, I think it goes both ways. I think some people can play as the predator, and then some people play as, and then the rest of the people, like, rest of the party play as survivors kind of thing.
It's another hide-and-go-seek game, really, isn't it? So, I mean, at the same time, we've obviously got Monstrum 2, which is going to be coming out in the fourth quarter.
Have you ever played Monstrum, the first one?
I've not played the first one, but I love the fact this one's set on a oil rig.
Well,
which is just...
The first one, I think, was also set on a oil rig or some kind of freighter.
Okay.
Yeah, so it... Monstrum had its issues. I actually was looking at it during, I think, its early days when... I don't know if it was a demo or something like that. It wasn't a full game yet when I had seen it. And after the full game came out, I hadn't caught it again. So it kind of like snuck out. It's one of those games that kind of like just sneak out and you don't realize it came out. So I'm not sure how the first one has gone. But I'm interested in seeing where it goes, because I remembered when I had first seen it, Monstrum has this really, it has some pretty decent mechanics. And I think it really helps, I think, that it's also procedurally generated. So, you know, your monsters always change, and there's always, like, a different thing happening. Your maps are going to change. Where you find certain items to escape is going to be, to put together to escape is also randomly in other rooms all the time. So I just wonder if that's going to be the same concept for Monstrum 2.
Well, certainly with Monstrum 2, the only sort of details we have is that it's going to take place in a sea fortress, and it's also going to have a changing environment from game to game, where players must find different escape routes and learn the map inside out before they get devoured. So, all good stuff in that respect. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with these games, it's the last ability of them, and it's the same when we have like the team shooters like Overwatch, and that it's all like, well, how what's the sort of last ability? But at the same time, we say this and look at Fortnite, it's like one of the biggest games ever. So I have to wonder, like, as we go into 2020, is that bubble finally going to burst? Are we going to see the end of these games, or do we think it's just sort of going to be like continue to be fueled by the esports market, who've obviously invested a lot in the likes of League of Legends and Overwatch and making sure that these games sort of stay as relevant as possible. I mean, obviously Overwatch 2 is on the horizon as well, so...
Well, it's definitely a motivation for people to play these games, because if you can get into esports, even individually and stuff, you can go into certain, you know, you can try and make some money off of it. And that's obviously very interesting, and plus, you know, you have the likes of, you know, DreamHack and all that stuff, and a lot of games that are still around from before, like, I mean, StarCraft 2 is still... You know, StarCraft 2 came out when I was in, like what, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, something like that? It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it still has, I think, like, when I go to DreamHack, that's the most popular game ever. It has the rowdiest crowd, it has the most invested groups, and, you know, there is, you know, obviously a place for multiplayer game right now, and the market has definitely grown for multiplayer and even co-op games. I mean, I obviously, you know, for us, because we're a team, we're definitely more interested in, you know, the co-op element in games more than, you know, say a multiplayer, because you'd have to find a group of your friends to play, or else you'd have to pair up with a bunch of strangers, which God knows who you're going to end up with, right?
I mean, if you want to ever see, like, the worst side of gaming industry, just go to an esports event. It's just the worst people.
I've done DreamHack a few years. I don't think it's horrible, but I also don't mingle with a lot of people, so it might be just me.
I think it's just the constant. It's like every time we have one of these esports gamers, like, gets wheeled out at E3 and whatever, and there's sort of like, see a bunch of confused journalists, like, watch some guy try and give a promo. It's like, okay, guys. It just makes you wish you could fast forward real life. I mean, I'm still having nightmares about that whole Command and Conquer promo they did last year, so. Ugh.
And that game is not fun. I tried it before. It was not fun. yeah, so anyways, let's getting back into 2020. I mean, obviously we still have, you know, obviously, let's get this out of the way, is, you know, we have the remake. Following the very successful Resident 2 remake, we are having the Resident 3 remake, which will come out in April.
But of course.
Yeah, for Nemesis. And I know a few people in my life, my friends and stuff, that are interested and very excited about this. So, I mean, obviously, I think it's good for the fact that, you know, I mean, Resident Evil 2 and the whole, you know, just giving the whole thing a facelift and modernizing the whole thing is a great thing. I mean, it adds in, you know, it's a different experience than playing, you know, the 90s version or whatnot, right?
Mm. Well, also, when we're talking about remakes, we've also got the remake of Destroy All Humans, which is going to be coming out as well. No release date as yet, but they're going to be working with the original voice actors. So I'm excited to see, because Destroy All Humans has always been something of a little cult favorite. It's always been the little franchise that could, even though it never seemed to be like one of the most talked about game franchises. It still managed to keep churning out additions to the series, and I think it'd be really exciting to see it. I mean, there's no release for the Switch yet, which I'm kind of sad about. I say it's the sort of game I could really get into on the Switch, but, you know, it'd be on Xbox One, PlayStation, and PC, so you'd be able to pick up on one of those.
But
the trailer for it's really random. It's just them singing along to Rammstein. It's like, what?
Well, I mean, nothing is as random as Fast and the Furious Crossroads, though. That's kind
of was
announced so recently in the Game Awards, and it's already coming out in May. So
you want to see a desperate cash grab? Look at that.
and you know what? I might actually fall into the cash grab. That's what I'm worried about.
Really?
It has all the elements I like, right? So it has, you know, Fast and the Furious is a franchise I really like. And then on top of that, it's kind of like a car game. So it has kind of like that arcadey car game version. So it'll be interesting to where it goes. I probably won't pick it up on release. I'll wait for like some kind of mega discount before I pick it up. But, you know.
Shouldn't be waiting too long.
Yeah, and then, if we talk about, you know, on top of random as well, we also have, you know, finally Maneater has a release date where you play it as a shark taking revenge on humans. And that's coming out in May 22nd or something like that. I keep seeing different release dates for that one, so I'm not really sure.
It keeps being bounced around, and yeah, I mean, for anyone who wanted a sequel to the Jaws video game, you know, there you go.
It's kind of, you know, reverse horror in that sense, right? So
I just want to know what sort of extended gameplay can you get out of it? It's like,
I think it's very much an adventure and explore game. It's like, you know, you're a shark and you watch other things, and that's what I guessed. It's very much like a game where you play as a shark and you can attack, and you can attack humans, and you can build your, you know, predator area, I don't know what you call it, and then you can, you know, find whatever, you know. And it's, I don't know, I think it's such a vague game that you could have fun with it, but it really depends on how deep it's gonna go.
Well, obviously, we're on the subject of cash grabs, though. I mean, we should obviously mention that LEGO Star Wars has a new edition with the Skywalker Saga, which is, what they assure us, is not just a remake of the old game, but a completely new game that is going to cover all 9 movies. So, yay!
Yeah, and while we're talking about movies to video games, we can't we can't neglect Marvel's Avengers, which is also coming out on May 15.
Oh, wow. It's...
We just had a very lovely conversation about Marvel off-air, so...
Yeah. Marvel's Avengers is amazing. It's a game that people were excited for at E3, and I think since then, people sort of really just stopped caring. I mean, yes,
it's... I literally forgot about it. I literally did. I remembered it was like our it was like one of our top games when it was when it was announced, and then I forgot about it.
Well, I'm looking at these promo shots of like just the cinematics, and I'm looking at like a rather overweight Iron Man and an overweight Captain America, and it's sort of like, oh, that's not good. So I'm hoping that they clean it up. I mean, they got till May 15th to get a grasp on what's happening. But from what we've heard different things in the fact that, you know, you're going to be able to play as different Avengers and they're all going to have different abilities. So it's going to be interesting to see if it actually plays, if it's going to be a fun little multiplayer experience, which... we've heard that it was going to be, and then we've heard it wasn't going to be, and nobody seems to be able to sort of get any sort of grasp on what's happening. I mean, the fact it's Square Enix, so I suppose we should be expected of delays from them, because, I mean, how long have we been waiting for the Final Fantasy VII remake for now? It's,
well, you know, like, I mean...
4 or 5 E3s?
Well, we kind of... they just didn't bother to talk about it anymore at one point, right? And then until, you know, there was something more to show for it. Yeah, but I mean, moving on.
I know.
You know, obviously, I think one of the bigger, you know, bigger games of this year will also be Ghost of Tsushima, which has had some really great videos that came out. And we had a beautiful, beautiful trailer at the Game Awards, which, you know, I really love how they do things, because, you know, they're not just showing you cinematics, but they're showing you a lot of gameplay every single time. So you have a really great idea of, you know, what you're getting into, what type of game this is about. And in this last trailer that we had, we even got a lot more of the story, you know, what is this whole Ghosts of Tsushima business, right? So I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, it looks really pretty. And on top of that, this is going to release after, but if you want, I mean, if you want, you can still pick up, like, they gave this free codes for this dynamic theme PlayStation 4, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
I'm excited for it. I'm hoping it's more accessible than Shadows Die Twice, which was obviously our other samurai game that we had this year.
Well, Shadows Die Twice is really, I think it's very known for the hardcore Souls fans. Because it's supposed to be one of the most, just word from, you know, people who are Souls fans, you know, I'm not, right? We aren't. So we aren't like dedicated players. I'm no experienced Souls game player at all. But I mean, I heard that it's very, it's pretty much like, you know, they have it very polished to the point where there's a very fine-tuned system of how it works. So there's like a fine-tuned way of, you know, like how the enemies will react and that sort of thing. And it's supposed to be it's one of the most challenging Souls-like games out there. Which, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised, you know, at that. But it does look beautiful. I just probably won't ever play it because it's probably going to make me so angry.
Let's talk a little bit about anticipated sequels right now, because we've got 2 big sequels that are coming out finally after years and years of in development. First off, we've obviously got Psychonauts 2, which is still to get release date, although they have confirmed that it is going to be coming out in 2020.
Yep.
Really fun cinematics we've seen from that. We've seen a little bit of gameplay footage as well, but Psychonauts, I mean, is just an absolute cult classic. Mm. And we've been waiting since 2015, when this was first announced at the Game Awards, yeah, for this game to come out. So it's great that it's finally coming out from Double Fine. So very excited about that. And the other one we're obviously excited about is Beyond Good and Evil 2,
right,
from Ubisoft. Again, no release date for this one.
That,
but
that could very much go into 2021 for all we know. I like, that's the one that doesn't even land on any list right now that it's like it's supposed to come out in 2020. So I'm very, you know, skeptical about whether it's going to come out next year. But I think if it is, it's going to be announced in E3.
But how much fun if Ubisoft had playing around with the anticipations of the Beyond Good and Evil fans?
Yeah.
Because every time they release a trailer, then you see, go on the message boards and the fans are like going, oh, there's no Jade, it's just this weird fine monkey nonsense. And then the second trailer comes out and it's like, bam, there's Jade.
You wanted and Jade, Jade, we're giving you Jade. You know, like...
And, they've got a real sort of game plan down. At the same time, they've teamed up with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, his little indie production company, who are currently working on doing the radios and doing like promos and commercials for their game. So it's got a real good indie vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly everything we've seen from it looks absolutely stunning. There's expected to be some really interesting characters. And I mean, this takes place one generation prior to the events of Beyond Good and Evil. The original game, obviously a huge cult favorite. We've reviewed it on the show previously, and I'd like to say we both enjoyed it. It's
yeah. It had its issues, but it was, you know, it was a pretty solid game. And you know, talking about, you know, sequels and stuff, I mean, we should really put that Psychonauts thing into action. We've been talking about reviewing that for a long time.
I know. It's,
you know, it will happen this year.
We just keep getting distracted by shiny things, so
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the problem.
Yeah.
Let's talk about another indie project as well here, because obviously
there's a lot of indie projects that I'm still waiting to talk about right now. So
the one that's that I'm really excited about is Way to the Woods.
Okay.
From Team 17, and I mean, this is one that Reddit really fell in love with right from the moment that Anthony Tan shared a few like shots of his little project.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he just off the back of this hype, he got his publishing deal when sort of like the influencers sort of started passing it around. And I'm really excited to see how this one goes. I mean, you're playing as a deer, which is kind of cool. It reminds me of that that game that was on the PlayStation 3, I want to say, where you were the animals wandering around abandoned Tokyo. And just something about this game really has me interested, and I don't know whether it's Kim's influence getting me to play more indie games and more sort of quirky games or what, but there's something about where Way to the Woods that just really has me excited about this one. So
we've been playing a lot of animal games, so a lot of animal feature, animal characters in indie games, so I think that could be it.
I know, but at the same time, we look at the gaming landscape,
yeah,
and the sort of games that people and now playing that I never yeah thought would really sort of take off, so it's like Journey or yeah, that diving
Abzu
game. Abzu. I mean, Abzu is just basically a meditation game. You just swim around and look at fish.
You can literally meditate, so that really helps.
It's just delightful, and A Way to the Woods is just and the next sort of evolution in those sorts of games, and I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, obviously, you know, we have a lot of, I mean, should I mention that Pokemon Sleep is going to be released as well? I don't know how that's going to happen and how exciting that's going to be. But yeah, I don't know. I remember you being quite excited about it, so I thought I should mention it.
It's a Pokemon game. I think this thing, once you're in the Pokemon sort of hold, if once they get hold of you, there are many ways that you can play Pokemon now. Because I mean, it's not just like Sword and Shield. You can play Pokemon Go, which is still getting regular updates,
yeah,
and form of causing much marital strife in my household because I'm not apparently playing it enough and letting the side down as I'm constantly told. So.
Yeah. So anyways, I mean, getting back onto, you know, before I get into indie, I feel like, you know, if people don't know, because I didn't know, Assassin's Creed is having their sequel come out, Ragnarok. So there's going to be a next Assassin's Creed coming out, supposedly in 2020, but it has no release date yet. So we'll see what that's going to happen. But I mean, getting back into, you know, indie games, I mean, I backed a lovely little indie game called The Pedestrian. And that's coming out finally in January 29th, which is, you know, essentially a puzzle game where, you know, you use, you know how you have these signs and then the little person, like the guy on your toilet sign, can walk around, you know, the little stick figures can walk around the signs and go around different backgrounds and stuff. Yeah, it's a very cool little game. I think we have the demo on our YouTube channel. So, I mean, we'll link it if I remember, or if we remember. Yeah, so other than that, I mean, we saw, you know, the trailer for 12 Minutes at E3, which is supposed to be released this year as well. Bendy and the Ink Machine has its sequel, Bendy the Dark Revival. Mm. A bunch of indie games with no release dates right now is what's happening. So, you know, other than that, Boyfriend Dungeon, I think, is supposed to come out, too. I don't know.
Yes.
Yes. And that's very cute, too. I also backed that one on Kickstarter. So I'm really interested to see where that's going to go, because it's, you know, a visual novel mixed with a dating simulator where, you know, you can date your weapons. Very quirky, very indie. But, I mean, Boyfriend Dungeon is by the team that's done a bunch of really cool games. And I can't remember the name because I'm crazy. Let me see. Yeah, so it's done by Kit Fox Games, which I think did Moon Hunters before, and then Shrouded Isle, which are two fairly big titles in the indie. You know, both very multi-genre kind of things. Obviously, we have Super Meat Boy Forever, which is supposed to come out also in 2020, but it's weird because it kind of fell off the map. We haven't heard much from it lately.
I assume it's still happening.
The
Meat Boy's he's one of those cool figures who just never went away, and it's surprising really how much we all embraced that lovable block of meat. Even if it's infuriating, it's still just really addictive, it has to be said, which is kind of a delicate balance to walk when you've got games that are like that. I certainly put more time into that than I did like into any of the Get Good games, like Bloodborne and Dark Souls. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, another game that we saw on, I think it was E3 still. I think we only do E3 now, so... I mean, another game that we saw E3 that I really liked was Chris Tales, and I'm really hoping it's going to come out this year. It's with, you know, the past, the present, and the future with that lovely animation style. So I tried the demo. I never finished the demo, but I'm still working on it, I guess. And then, you know, that game just looks so amazing. It's so creative and so pretty. And, you know, it's somewhat of an RPG and such that... It's pretty fun. I don't know if you remember it. Other than that, I mean, our favorite studio, at least one of our favorites, is Don't Nod Entertainment, obviously, as we've talked about Life is Strange forever and ever and ever. And that's pairing up with Bandai to do Twin Mirror, which is supposed to come out 2020 as well, but it doesn't have a release date.
Looking over to Xbox now, we get to finally see the return of Master Chief with Halo Infinite. Mm-hmm. This is going to be coming out in the fourth quarter, currently set for Xbox One and PC. And yeah, I mean, this is the sixth main entry in the Halo franchise and first game really since 2017, because there's been a little bit of a break for the Halo games. And I think Xbox needs the return of its mascot. Mm. Let's not forget, I mean, the Master Chief launched the Xbox. And was the main reason that console sold so well. So it's been a little bit of a disappointing sort of returns, really, for the main games. I mean, obviously, Halo 5 Guardians was a bit of a disappointment. So they're hoping to get things back on track with Halo Infinite. So, yeah. It's... I don't know. Halo, I think, is always... got that sort of place for sort of gamers. So I think even if it's a bad game, it still shift like a million units or whatnot. So it's not, it's sort of hard to really sort of judge where that one's going to go, really.
Well, I mean,
I think it's got so much of a cult following.
I mean,
so,
you know, with Game Pass and stuff now, it's easy for Xbox to thrive a lot more with its games. So, you know,
it is.
Yeah, because you already have a base group of people who are playing these games, who have the Game Pass. And, you know, playing these newly released games is where the value is at, right? So, obviously, you know, Xbox has this really... That's one of the things I really admire about Xbox right now, and I think that it's going to be a force to be reckoned with. Just like you said, if you know, they find enough solid exclusives for themselves, which, you know, they definitely are on the right track, especially as they do pair up with a lot of indies and give them, you know, first releases on Xbox and stuff like that. Even if it's not exclusive, it's exclusive on release day. And then it goes into other consoles or PC or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it gives it a lot of, definitely a stronger base. And I think that that's, you know, Halo is kind of like, you know, it's kind of like Gears, right? The same kind of concept is the fact that if you like the game, you already have that solid base of people who play it. And then there's going to be people who have the Game Pass, which is going to be like, okay, well, I want to try this out because I haven't yet. And, you know, that's going to bring these people to try out all the previous games if they want to and stuff. That's whatever is available on Xbox.
The one I really want from the Gears franchise is Gears Tactics.
Which is coming out in April.
I know, Gears XCOM, as we refer to it here on the show. And, yeah, I mean, after Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which was really surprisingly fun for the Switch, and I need a new one, so Gears Tactics will... Mm-hmm. Obviously, fill that when that finally comes out, because it feels like it's been delayed forever. So much like Skull and Bones, which I think we've been waiting 2 years now for this one to come out. It was
pretty much 2-3 years, I would say, is about it.
And they assure us it is coming out.
Yeah,
I hope this isn't another Final Fantasy VII remake where we just wait for years for this game to come out.
This is Ubisoft. They're not going to be like that. I mean, I don't know if you watched it, but I saw the documentary Playing Hard. I think it's on Netflix now. And that was like the making of For Honor, and you really see like the AAA studio process of making a game, and you know how to make the unique, like the new properties and how to operate around a new IP and stuff like that. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So
it was just bizarre the fact that at E3 this year we didn't get an update.
Well,
because the previous two, they obviously denounced it, and then we got the update the following year, and then this year at E3 there was nothing, and it felt like it had almost fallen off the map. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of reassuring to know that it is still coming out, but at the moment we're yet to get a release date, which is a little infuriating because it's still one of my most wanted games.
You know, the thing is, I think that this year E3, like the past, like this year the E3, we had this issue of, I think that's why a lot of games kind of fell off our radar, because what was teased as highly anticipated the year before, they didn't, you know, move forward with it this year. So people forget about it, like Marvel's Avengers and whatnot. So you kind of like, it just kind of, with all the big releases coming out and all the big games and all the sequels and all the big, you know, big announcements and all that, you kind of forget about things that are happening because there's just so many, you know, shiny things in front of us that we really, that has caught our attention now.
Yeah. And in the same poem, I mean, you can obviously put Dying Light 2 as well, the follow-up to the 2015 game. And this is another game we didn't get an update this year's E3. And I was very surprised after they've made such a fuss the previous year, especially in like how the character choices are going to really affect the world, really. And this time the game is actually going to have a bigger world. And it's just really exciting to see how the mechanics all sort of play out, especially in the choice-based system. Because as we saw in like all the previews, that the smallest choices can have these huge effects in how the world around it sort of changes. So it's hopefully going to have a release date announced soon as well, because at the moment they're saying it's going to be in the second quarter, but like everything on on our list, it can be subject to change at the slightest notice, unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, other than that, I mean, if we haven't ever successfully streamed, Don't Starve Together, but Clay Entertainment has their new game coming out, which was teased, I think, also, like, a good 3 years ago or something at the PC Gaming Show, and it kind of, like, fell off the map a little. And that was Grifflands, which is their, you know, sci-fi role-playing game. This is more of a deck-building roguelite. God, I can't pronounce it today. So it's going to be interesting to see Clay Entertainment kind of take on a different genre of games, seeing as, you know, Don't Starve was such a success.
It'd be good to finally have that sort of follow-up to that one, definitely, because it was such a fun, quirky little title.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're still doing updates for it, though they haven't really, like, ditched it at all. So they haven't ditched it completely, which is, I think, which shows a lot that there is still a lot of people playing the game. Other than that, I mean, if I know that you didn't get a chance to see it, but I'm going to be posting up a video on that very soon on our channel, and that's the demo for Carry On, which when I excitedly messaged you about it during, you know, the demo thing that we got for the Game Awards on Steam, I was telling you how it was like playing the Blob in Inside. I know how much you love it. So, Carry On is a reverse horror game, which I think is one that I have my eyes on for sure. I was surprisingly having a lot of fun playing it. So I'm really interested to see, like, when that's going to be released, seeing as they had a demo for it already, which was fairly lengthy. Like, it was a decent-sized demo. I think that it's gonna be one to really, like, go in and just go crazy.
Currently set for a June 1st release, so
okay,
it'll be good. And it's also gonna be on Switch, which is great.
Yeah, that's gonna be really great on Switch. That's gonna be a great Switch title.
So that's another. We're getting lots of monster stalking games in 2020, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go all Jackie Chan, I've been playing it at a few of the Montreal festivals here, and that's a game called Blood Roots. It's like a smooth action game. Action game where you're in this. It's kind of like a Wild West, but they call it the Weird West, where you can pick up anything on the map and use it as your weapon as you're fighting through these different landscapes of people. And you play as Mr. Wolf. And I think he's out for revenge or something. And it has that challenging element of having those, you know, one-hit kills, where if the enemy gets you, you die right away. But at the same time, it's very much like, very like a free world where you can hop from one place to the next, and you can, it's, you know, there's a lot of blood splattering. It's very Tarantino in that sense, but mixed with a lot of like, just a lot of hitting and fighting and all kinds of things, like very action packed, like a Jackie Chan movie or something like that. This is definitely a title. I've tried it a few times at these festivals, and it's definitely a stand-up title.
So that obviously is our rundown of the 2020 upcoming releases. If there's anything that we've missed or that you want to let us know what you're excited about, please do in the comments section. You can get in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter, as well as our blog, which is gamewhatpodcast.wordpress.com. And whether you happen to be listening to us, hit the like, subscribe buttons. It really helps raise the profile of the show. Much like leaving us a nice review. Let us know what you think of the show. What you'd like to see. It's all appreciated, and we love to hear from you guys, and when you get involved. But until next time, thank you as always to my co-host Kim. So make sure you check out our reviews and our complete podcast archive at gamewhatblog.wordpress.com. But until next time, thank you for listening, and keep gaming.